Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I think, Neil, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Then I have your, I at least have your sound. For whatever reason, we are having major technical difficulties. So, but we got about 10 minutes, roughly or so, 10 or 12, and we'll get in as much as we can. Welcome aboard. Good to have you.
Oh, very good. Isn't it interesting? We had an easier time making a live connection in Ukraine.
I know, right? That's so absolutely wild.
It's bonkers.
Tell me about, I guess let's try and get as much information. Tell me what you experienced when you were there. I know that we had the live interview with the soldier there at the Superhuman. Now what is a Superhuman? Is a hospital, a rehabilitation hospital, is that right?
It's a modern rehabilitation facility for injured soldiers and civilians as well, who have lost limbs due to, you know, the war.
Okay.
And funded by Warren Buffett's son, Howard Buffett. And it's a very, very modern facility with a sort of very modern approach to the way they're dealing with amputations and the loss of limbs. And I think in many senses, they're going to be sort of rewriting the way that the medical industry or medical facilities look at amputations, because they're bringing these boys in, they're getting them rehabbed very quickly. They have an on-site factory, basically, or shop where they make the prosthesis. So they make them with clear plastic to fit around the injured limbs, and then they can look for pressure points and adjust them. And the center literally has swimming pools, psychologists, massage, rehabilitation, And everything that the soldiers and a handful of civilians need to get walking again or learn to use their prosthesis. And they have mechanical prostheses, which are more durable, and they also have robotic or bionic ones, where soldiers who are completely missing arms and the shoulders have arms that with fingers that can hold paper or a pen. Or one guy even was tying stuff for his fishing rod with it. So there's big developments through superhumans with the use of and the fitting and rehabilitation with prosthesis for the people in Ukraine. So it's a fascinating place and very, very encouraging. And, you know, the main thing is it's called superhumans, and these boys are leaving there not as wounded or not as soldiers who have no use in life. They're leaving as superhumans. And I think it's a really, really wonderful psychological way to treat them as the heroes that they are and put them into their new life as superhumans.
Talk to me about you went over there in large part to address the orphan issue that's going on, correct?
Did not manage to connect with the orphan issue, but I think there's so many stories to tell, but one of them is really this great resolve in people. And now, a year and a half in, most people have got an ability to tell this story of what happened from February the 24th to now, which was something I didn't get last year. So I met a pastor by the name of Serhi, and I think that you'll like this story. And I went to a church that he's building in Irpin, which was a very badly hit area. And just to start with the building, it's still under construction, but one of the things that Pastor Serhi has done, they built a special floor that can be heated with wood. So when the winter comes, and if and when the Russians attack the infrastructure and the energy grid again, and people are left with no heat and no light, he fully expects to be able to put mattresses and beds and cots on the floor of the church and heat it with the wood supplies they've got, so that people will not freeze and they'll have a warm place to go and they can get a warm meal. He's building special handicap bathrooms because he wants to start working with the psychological rehabilitation of soldiers that have been injured. They're not always on their prosthesis. Sometimes they have to use their wheelchairs. And what was really fascinating, and I will write the story, and I do have the information. In the beginning, when the war broke out, he sort of got these messages, you need to start feeding people. So he started to feed people, and then he got a message that he needed to go down into the subways and feed people. And slowly he went from feeding a handful of people to feeding literally hundreds of people in subways, to where they're sheltering from the bombs, to I think it ended up at about 12 different underground facilities. And he said that he just stood there one day absolutely mind blown as 20 tons of food supplies were coming in from the Czech Republic to feed all these people. And he just, you know, this is a gentleman that started by making a few meals. And all through this process, he felt, you know, his God was calling him to do these different works. And he was feeding everybody. Again, 20 tons of supplies coming in at the time. I think the Czech truck was like the 18th truck that came in, which in my basic math is over 360 tons of supplies that he was responsible for. And he went down into Bucha and Irpin after the occupation. And he said he was just stepping over bodies of dead civilians and hearing stories of, you know, people who starved because the Russians just deprived them of food. So one man had given his food to his wife so she could live. And an old lady came up crying because her house was blown up. So he went into gear building houses. And at the time of his talk that I went to at the church there, he had built over 450 houses. They've taken sleeping bags, they've done houses, they're building churches. And you just look at this man and you think, you know, this is Ukraine. This is what I think my whole journey was about, was finding these incredible humans that are just doing superhuman, Herculean efforts to help everybody around them. And those are the types of stories I would really like to bring out of Ukraine, is honoring the work of people like Serhii and what he's done to help his people, because it is just mind-blowing.
What was the sense as you spoke with them with regards to the war? I mean, obviously they are dramatically impacted by the war. You're talking about people being starved out and homeless and their houses blown up and a variety of these kinds of issues. What was their sense about that, and how connected or disconnected are they from, and I don't know how much you've, you know, followed it or kind of looked at it a little bit, what's going on with President Zelensky and all of the controversies that seem to be happening relative to the continued, what a lot of people are calling corruption at the upper levels.
Yeah, that's just political theater. If you were sitting there in this country and someone was bombing you, speculation as to whether or not your government is corrupt wouldn't affect you. You're getting bombed, you're losing your limbs, you're losing your house. We just have political theater here. I mean, it's an interesting situation because you've clearly got a whole side of the American media that wants to, you know, cast aspersions on Zelensky in Ukraine because that benefits them. That's how they sell their ads. That's how they get their votes and do their thing. So I think inside the country, that's just, it doesn't exist. It's a very, very singular fight for their lives against these Russian aggressors. And every single person is affected at some level. You could find people that have lost loved ones, lost limbs, lost homes, live under shelling, occupation, right through to just regular families who just live in fear and the knowledge that any day could be their last. And they all share one hard, cold fact. They don't have a future right now.
I appreciate what you just said, Neil. I want to highlight that because I appreciate what you just said. You know, the United States of America, folks, those of us who are watching this, who are fighting this fight for the freedoms and the liberties in our country, who are watching mm-hmm. what happened to the J6 people, who are watching all of these things that are taking place, would say, you know, we're living under a tyrant. We're living under tyranny of a sort. We are watching what they're doing to our children. We've got all this internal battle that is taking place. But what if suddenly tomorrow, and it could happen. I mean, Laura Loomer is saying right now that on the chat boxes, the Hamas chat boxes, they're talking about attacking Chicago. What if tomorrow we were invaded? As many of us believe, and that's part of what we're battling. But what if that was the case? Would we want the rest of the world to be focused on the actions of the tyrants in Washington, D.C., or would we want them to recognize that the people of America are fighting for their lives and trying to hang on to their cities, their towns, their very homes, their very lives? Where might we be in that perspective? I just think that's such a profound way of expressing this message that you just shared, Neil, that humanizes it, and it's just so critically important.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't experienced the horrors and the hell that the Ukrainians live through, but I mean, I have been in places with incoming missiles and artillery and things blown up, and certainly have had those feelings a number of times inside Ukraine of, you know, this could be my last moments. You know, you're not thinking anything else other than about your survival, the people around you, where you're going to go. And again, you know, it's just political theater. Governments will come and governments will go. Our lives really don't change that much. We think they do because we get all caught up in some type of ideology. And you have to remember that it's just ideology. It's learned. And so, you know, the people of Ukraine, it's very, very simple. They're just fighting for their lives. And if Russia wins, they'll either be raped, tortured, subjugated, enslaved, right, or they'll have to evacuate. And there's no more complication to it. And the destruction hasn't changed. The brutality hasn't changed. Putin has collated this war in an incredibly cruel and deliberate way. The way he targets infrastructure, the way he targets hospitals. You know, I toured a school where they're having to build a whole school underground because they would need their children to go to school. But what Putin understands is if you take a few schools out, you take all the schools out, and then the children can't learn and they can't move forward.
Right.
And it's just brutality.
And he's bombing schools, and he's bombing hospitals, and he's doing it intentionally. I was going to say strategically, and it is. I mean, it is a strategy. It's a sick strategy, but it is a reality. He, as you said, he is actually targeting schools with children in them to send multiple messages. A, your life is meaningless to me, and I don't care who you are, I'll kill you.
He's got a huge distraction machine. I mean, Putin's working in Syria. He's working in Mali right now, or in Timbuktu. I mean, they are disruptors. That's what they do. There's nothing good that comes out of Russia. Yeah. Russia is, I mean, you know, it's a totalitarian state. They have one media curated by Putin. I have plenty of Russian friends that have had to evacuate. You do not want to live in Russia. And some, so yeah, it's just, what's very sad is when you meet a very rational, intelligent person and they know you've gone to Ukraine and they say, oh, but what about the corruption? And you realize that they've just been deflected. How do you deflect against human suffering? Yeah. How do you look at men, women, and children, innocent men, women, and children getting blown up and don't see it because someone tells you their government is corrupt? What has that got to do with anything? I mean, what government isn't corrupt? I mean, good Lord.
And Neil, that thank you. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on and talk about this is because it's frustrating to me. It's the same thing. There's so much disinformation that's being put out. I just spent an hour and a half with my good friend, Dr. David Wormser, who's in Jerusalem today, but he's been staying in Tel Aviv. And literally on a week ago Saturday, I went on because there was I'll say it. Steve Bannon was talking about how Bibi Netanyahu needed to be removed and we couldn't trust him because he stabbed Trump in the back because he simply called Biden and said, hey, congratulations, which was only a message of political survival to say to the rest of the United States, I am not against the United States, and Israel and the United States still continue to try to work together. Because we're it. And then secondly, to say, look, Biden, I know that you and Obama tried to, you know, interfere with my elections. Stay out of it. I'll stay out of what's going on with you, and you stay out of what's going on with me, which he hasn't and he didn't. And three of the heads of the intel of the United States are key players in this whole situation because they're tied to Iran.
My focus is to not focus on Israel because I think Ukraine is very black and white. Russia invaded Ukraine. And then inside America, you have three simple systems. You have a split between the right and the left politically, and the left politically is very supportive of Ukraine, and the right is divided between two camps. One camp is anti-Ukraine, the other camp is anti-Biden but supportive of Ukraine. So they get to bash the government while they're supporting Ukraine. So it's quite simple. You've got a choice of one in three types of people. But when it gets to Israel and Hamas and Palestine, it's just so complicated. And everybody, you know, you've got to remember all of these armchair warriors and pundits and Facebook people. I mean, first of all, they were COVID experts. Now they're Ukraine experts. Now they're going to be Israel experts, you know. And the truth of that matter is it's way above our pay grade and way too complicated.
Well,
and
that's why I'm talking to somebody who's actually there, who is right, in Israel, right. You know, who's in Israel and who has been an expert and who I have been talking to for the last 10 years. So it's not, and so, you know, that's why I'm not pretending that I'm not still a novice to some degree, but I've spent 10 years learning about what's going on over there from experts.
Yeah, and you have more intel on that than you know, the man in the street. I mean, it's a very, very, very complicated situation.
Yeah.
So But and at the end of the day, you know, again, more women and children being blown up with missiles and bombs. That's the, you know, more human suffering. And it's always the innocent people that suffer. But, you know, bringing the conversation back to Ukraine,
yes,
and what on this year, you know, one of the things I feel really, really strongly about is being so impressed with the people that are doing the humanitarian aid. And I think, you know, if we all just focused on that, you know, it's so easy to sit there and be filled with self-righteous indignation because your political belief is different to somebody else's. And it's just ideology. You could grow up in a Democratic house or you could grow up in a Republican house and you would have one of their ideologies for life. It's just learned. But humanity, we all share. It doesn't matter what color you are, what religion you are, what race you are, we all share humanity. And when I go into Ukraine, I'm dealing with humanity. I'm dealing with the good of humans. And it's brilliant. I mean, you should see what Rotary are doing in there. And what's sad about it, and the converse is that it's created by evil. You know, evil seeks to destruct. Putin wants to destroy everything. And he's not going to get away with it because of the good of mankind. So I think we have to, you know, we have to rally behind that. Thankfully, good wins, you know.
At the end of the day, I believe that good does win. I do believe that evil is on the rise. And I think that evil knows that its days are numbered as an overarching end to all of this. As a Christian who believes in what the Holy Word says, I believe that God is going to bring an end to all of this at a point. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that point. And so I think that evil is rising up and kind of making its last gasp effort, which Scripture also tells us is going to happen, that evil is going to rise. And I hear you that there is a draw within man to draw him to God, but there's also the Word of God tells us that that evil dwells in the heart of men. And sin and rebellion and that wickedness is a part of that. And man's desire to be autonomous from God and have total control is a big part of the problem. We got to go. Dr. Carroll's going to join me here in a minute. Neil, thank you so much. I apologize, our time was short. We had some technical difficulties, folks.
My fault. Difficulties.
Yeah, but we're going to take our break. Dr. Carroll Lieberman is with me. She's waiting, I know, in the wings. Neil, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, always. And we will chat soon.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I'll be back. Yes. More Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Hang on, Neil. All right.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thank you, folks, so much for being with me. I greatly appreciate it. I am very pleased to welcome back to the program Dr. Carol Lieberman is with us. Dr. Carol, welcome. It's always a joy to have you with me. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
One of the questions that I have, as we were in the green room, you know, talking about the horrors of all this. One of the questions that I have as a psychiatrist and am examining the frame of mind, Dr. Wormser and I were talking about that Israel really miscalculated with Hamas in the sense that they didn't imagine that they would take this to the level. Because they've basically committed suicide as a group. I mean, Israel now has no choice. They have to wipe Hamas off the map of the world, period, end of story. And we should all be thinking in terms of that in light of this is like ISIS. I mean, you didn't leave an ISIS warrior on the field of war. You wanted them all dead. They needed to all be dead because till the very last one stopped breathing, they were going to keep coming.
Right, right.
So where does the psychiatry, what triggers someone to think like that?
Well, first of all, yes, Israel, you know, sometimes gives people too much of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, of course, they knew that Hamas was a danger and they were terrorists. I mean, there's no question that Hamas are terrorists. You know, I don't know why people are debating this. I mean, they're radical Islamists. Who have been taught since they were little boys that the holiest thing, the best thing that you could do with your life is to sacrifice yourself, become a martyr, wage jihad, kill Israelis, kill Jews, and then go out through the rest of the world. I mean, that has been, it's like, most people don't know this. I mean, I've been talking about this on my terrorist therapist podcast forever, but what people don't realize, you know, they think in America, they think 9/11, okay, it was horrible, and we don't have to keep remembering it. That's bad, you know. It's makes us sad to think about it, and they're not going to do anything like that again. For over 1,000 years, as I'm sure you well know, that terrorists have radical Islamists have it's been their plan all along to take over the world, to enact Sharia law all over, to kill the unbelievers or the non-believers, the people who don't believe in Allah as they're, you know, lay down in front of Allah and all of that. And they haven't changed. Nothing has changed. We've had a little bit of a pause during COVID because there weren't a lot of people out in the streets or at concerts and so on. So there haven't been as many attacks that we know of, that the mainstream media tells us of,
right.
Although there have been several that have been stopped in America, but, you know, that's not really made much of in the news. And so, of course, Hamas, you know, they know that they are risk getting killed, but as long as they kill Israelis, as long as they kill Jews, as long as they keep on their jihad across the world, then they're happy. That's fine. They're doing the best thing that they could do with their life.
So really this is something that would be ingrained. It's their conscience. You know, you and I talked previously, and I know I'm somebody may say, well, wait, I don't know, how does that connect? But when we talk about what they're doing to American children in school, the trans agenda, the gender agenda, the homosexual agenda, all of that, we talk about it in terms of piercing the conscience of those children, destroying their moral compass. Isn't that really kind of the same sort of thing that would cause little kids to run around with guns pretending to kill Jews?
Yes, that's a really good analogy. Yes, they start when they're four, you know? They have, I'm sure you have seen videos of little kids. They look like 4 years old, if not younger, and they give them guns and they teach them, you know, it's like camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they play volleyball and softball and all of that. They play kill the Jews. And so it is ingrained, you know, when you start at that young age, over and over and over, and you get them involved in these exercises, physical exercises with guns and so on, of course they think, and telling them Jews are bad, Jews are the devil, Jews are the terrorists. Of course they grow up to believe that, just like, yes, as you were saying, just like the things that they're teaching in American schools about CRT and about trans and changing your gender or your sex and all of that, yes. And so then they don't know, like, it's just part of them, and they don't really think about where it came from.
Well, you know, there have been several of these terrorist camps now that have been found right here in America. There's one in Alabama called the Siraj Wahaj that was identified. There was another one in New Mexico, and they have little children in these camps that they are teaching to kill Americans like us. Okay, non-Muslims, any non-Muslim, kill them. It's insane. And I hate to bring this in, but you have some of that same stuff. I was watching a video of a black gentleman who was, I don't want to call him a gentleman, but a black guy that was a leader, saying that blacks need to rise up and start killing whites and join the ranks of the quote unquote Palestinians and so on. And go to war against white people. I mean, this kind of it's insanity. It's craziness. Yeah. Yeah. Am I off, doctor, in saying that? No. I mean, is it not irrational behavior?
You know, in the news, really, this war of blacks against whites has already started. If you watch the news reports of, I mean, maybe I'm not saying in any kind of necessarily other than BLM, Black Lives Matter, but aside from that, just all the killings that are going on in the streets of blacks against white people, who strangers, they don't know them, and the white person didn't do anything to them, but it's like they feel entitled to kill these people. Not, I'm not saying all blacks feel this way, of course, but there have been these instances of black people just killing white people because they're white. And, you know, there was this psychiatrist who gave a lecture, I think at Harvard. Harvard is really kind of has become the cesspool, but telling people, you know, kind of encouraging black people to take up arms against white people for no particular, you know, saying, I mean, I guess it's the same CRT stuff that white people think that they are, you know, empowered. And do you know, there's a thing in California, I just saw this. I mean, it is hard for me to believe, but Anything, of course, anything with our governor, Newsom, it shouldn't be hard to believe. But there are going to be these, or maybe there are already, these signs on freeways, the alerts, you know, like there are amber alerts across the country for missing children. But these signs are going to be for Black missing children. And it is to try to correct the balance, the alleged balance, between how much is done to find white missing children versus how much less is done to find Black missing children. So now we're going to even be having segregated signs to find missing children. All children should be looked for, whether they're Black, white, or green.
Well, it is... You know, it's horrific. And as you mentioned, you know, earlier here, just a few minutes ago in our conversation, you know, the comparison between Hamas and ISIS and the evil of what this is, to become sided with that, there has to be something psychologically out of whack for that to happen. Going back to that conscience issue, right? I mean, is that not where it begins at the kind of the deconstruction of just a general conscience sense of what's right and wrong?
Yes, but also on top of that, we are seeing, you know, the chickens come home to roost, where all these years of lies in our educational system, you know, not just CRT and trans and all of that, but they're apparently, even in Ivy League colleges, has been this constant teaching of hatred, of anti-Semitism. And, you know, of course what happened in Israel was shocking beyond belief, horrendous. I don't have the words to, there aren't enough words to say how horrible it was. But what was equally shocking, you know, or shocking, I mean, what Hamas did was like 9/11 and the Holocaust all rolled into one. But what was equally shocking was this uprising that we saw after Hamas attacked Israel. People in Ivy League colleges and regular colleges and Starbucks workers, you know, the Starbucks workers union came out for Palestine. I mean, just all kinds of people. All of a sudden, it was like someone lit a match. And all these people were out in the street with signs, and some of them got really violent. And it wasn't just in America. It was in London. It was in France. You know, finally, Europe is going to wake up and realize that maybe they shouldn't have let in so many migrants from radical Islamist countries.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, is a major concern here. We had a lot of, I mean, we went out and bought some groceries. We bought groceries because we had one of those eclipse issues or events that took place on Saturday. Where I live, the eclipse came right over the top of my house. So I had a beautiful view of that, but we were expecting a massive crowd, which didn't really materialize this time. It's supposed to materialize more with the full eclipse in April. But nonetheless, there were people who were prepared for a potential day of rage this past Friday. There was stuff that happened in bigger cities around, but Laura Loomer today came out and said that the chatter on the Hamas, one of the Hamas chat areas that she's monitoring, is saying that they're planning an attack in Chicago. And, you know, and I think to your point about coming home to roost, you know, everything we've been screaming about open borders and terrorists pouring through our borders and border protection, you know, is only touching a third of the number that's coming through. I mean, it suggested that anywhere between 150 and 300 terrorist watch lists are here.
Well, actually, the number is over 600 now, and those are the ones that they caught, you know. Obviously, there were a lot more that they didn't even catch.
Absolutely.
You know, I think talking about shocking things like 9/11 and Hamas and all of that, one of the worst things is the reaction or lack of it that we are getting from the Obama-Biden White House. Do you know, I'm sure you know, about how Biden had a barbecue on Saturday, on Sunday, the day after Hamas invaded Israel? He had a barbecue with a band. Do you know that that is just like what happened after 9/11 when the terrorists were celebrating in their various countries? Yeah. I mean, how much more do Americans need to see to know that, that first of all, that Biden is the puppet of Obama,
yep.
and they are both, you know, setting out to destroy America. They are in line with the terrorists. They have been. Obama was the worst president we've ever had. He has made us most vulnerable to terrorists, and he is pulling the strings on Biden. So that
absolutely
is really a super dangerous situation that we are in. It's not just Israel, folks, that's, you know, under assault, attack. But America, you know, if we don't wake up and start changing our elected officials, and then we have the squad, you know, saying all these outrageously anti-Semitic things and getting, you know, barely chastised for it. There was another thing.
And then the three individuals also that were former Obama people that Biden put into the intel community, Robert Malley, Ariana Tabatabai, and Mahir Bitar.
Yes, and who knew they knew about it before Israel?
Well, they probably are the ones who fed Iran the intel information about Israel's defenses so that they could bring them down so they could come in.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead, please. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was just, I'm just coming into, I mean, I agree with you 2,000%. I don't know how much I could agree. I think that Obama is behind this, and they've been planning this, and we need to be aware that they are planning an attack here in America. Obama wants America destroyed. We gotta understand that.
Absolutely. And he has said, you know, when his last term ended, he said, you know, somebody asked him, do you want to run for president again if you could, you know, and he said, well, I'd like to do it from my basement and give orders to the next president. And of course, he knew he couldn't give orders to Trump. So that's how that happened. Yes, I mean, you know, you say something against Obama, you must be racist. He was a great president. I mean, people need to wake up that we are in danger. It's not just over there, you know, that things are going to take place. And yes, Chicago is an interesting place to choose. You know, of course, I mean, Chicago is a mess to begin with, yeah, with all kinds of violence. So that would be a good place to start, you know. I mean, you know, a good place. I mean,
it would be a vulnerable place. It would be a place where it would be easy for them to do it because there's such lackadaisical approach to law enforcement and security. You've got so many businesses that are closing up because the criminals are running rampant in Chicago. It's horrific. Let me ask you again, to your expertise in the area of psychiatry, how do you get, I mean, we have a nation, and this is one of the biggest things that I've been talking with my guests about here, is the indoctrination that's been going on. And it's not one generation. It's not even just two. I mean, you could go back 60 years. You could go back to, you know, at least the 60s, maybe even earlier than that, with regards to how our education system has changed the course and direction of our country, where we have children now that think that Marxism is a good thing. That's a psychiatric, that is a psyop of mass proportions, really, if you think about it. Am I right in making that statement, that it is a psychological operation that's happened in our school system to change the psyche of our country?
Yes, yes. I think you could absolutely say that. And, you know, 9/11 played a role. I mean, yes, it began before 9/11, but 9/11 played a significant role in this because the generation, you know, people who were growing up, who were born and growing up during since 9/11, or at the time, and then since 9/11, they experienced, by osmosis, parents who were feeling incredibly anxious and helpless, you know, feeling like, here are these, you know, planes came out of the sky all of a sudden. we didn't know. And, you know, all of a sudden, something that we thought, we never thought that America, that could happen in America. And all of a sudden it did. And so, of course, people were very anxious and had PTSD and all of these things. And the kids growing up with these parents absorb that. And that is why they are more, besides, of course, the educational system that teaches a skewed history and doesn't really teach the difference between socialism and communism and capitalism. But I mean, teaches the difference in a negative kind of way, in the wrong way. But that generation is more amenable to socialism because they want Big Daddy to take care of them. You know, they want the government to take care of them because they feel scared. They feel helpless. They feel like they need somebody to take care of them because that's the feelings that they grew up with parents who were, you know, experiencing 9/11.
How do you shift the psychology of a people who have now rejected God, religion, the idea of absolutes, the idea of a morality? How do we get that back? I'm glad you point that out. There was a trauma as a nation that we experienced on 9/11, and out of that trauma has been birthed this kind of confused reaction, this underlying fear that you point out, that has caused everyone to latch on to something, but really to reject the very thing that is the security. I mean, in Israel, the people in Israel, for the most part, know that their defense, their ultimate protection is God. We're going to be okay because God's going to look out for us. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to sit at home, okay, close our doors, close our blinders, and just wait for a thunderbolt from heaven. We're going to do what we're trained to do. We're going to train. We're going to be ready. We're going to be prepared. But God is on our side, and we're going to do it with his help, and therefore we will win. We don't have that anymore.
Yeah, you mean America doesn't.
Right. Yes,
that's right. And the biggest, besides 9/11, the biggest thing that took that away from us, robbed us, was Biden's surrender in Afghanistan. History books, if there ever are anymore, history books are going to look back at that surrender in Afghanistan and see that as the pivotal moment, not only when America you know, started to crumble, but when all our enemies, you know, realized that they could attack us, that they could do whatever it was that they wanted to do. Putin started with Ukraine and all of that. That was the key moment. But, you know, the Hamas underestimated Israelis. They underestimated, first of all, the love that Israelis have for family, for each other, not just family, for other Israelis. And also the strength and the courage. I'm sure you've seen the videos of Israelis singing on their balconies, singing Hatikva, the national anthem, and all of that.
Chills,
Yes. So Hamas did not, you know, underestimated Israel in a lot of those ways. So not to say, you know, of course, now this morning they're coming and saying, we will give you the people who we kidnapped, the Israelis who we kidnapped, we will give you them back if you don't attack Gaza. You know, so now that's going to make it look, and I don't think, I know there will be some leaders in Israel who will want them to do that, but I hope they don't, because the long-run security of Israel depends upon getting rid of Hamas. Of course, it's tragic that these people might die and after all the torture they've been through and everything else, but the long-range plan of getting rid of Hamas is much more important, really. These people need to...
Right.
I mean, it's easy for me to say if it was my child there, I might have a different tune. But I think, you know, and of course, the other purpose of that is to make Israel look even worse for the world. Oh, look, well, we offer to give them back the people we kidnapped, and they just want to kill us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, though, to your point about them underestimating Israel, I think you make a really good point there. Again, in my conversations with David, with Dr. Ehrenfeld, and the conversations I've had with her, and with the group that I'm associated with as we're trying to message through Save the Persecuted Christians about what's happening over there. And a lot of our close friends over there are in Israel, in Jerusalem, and have been involved in helping to get, you know, the people out of Gaza and rescue people and get people out of Israel that want to leave right now while the war is taking place. But I think there was a misimaging. You know, we had all that unrest and the protests that were going on over there when Netanyahu was reforming the judiciary. And people don't understand why that was so important to saving Israel in reality. But all that being said, there was a misimage of, because you had a lot of foreigners that came in that were a part of that protest, not Israelis, but in order to boost the numbers. And so there was a sense that, oh, yeah, Israel is in disarray right now. This is a great time to attack them. And I loved your point about them. They were out on the balcony in force, united, saying, no, no, we are, irrespective of what some of these little differences are, we are together as a people.
Right. You know, I just want to mention before our time runs out.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I've written books on terrorism and so on. My latest book is called, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I'm giving profits, whatever profits there are, I'm going to be donating to Israel. So the book is called Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And it's a book about terrorism for children. The first half is for grown-ups, parents and teachers, and anyone who deals with children. And then the second half is a picture book for children about terrorism. So if you go to my website, terroristtherapist.com, and you buy it through my website, I will be giving all profits to Israel.
And you can see that right there on your screen. It is at the bottom there under Dr. Carol Lieberman, Expert Witness Forensic Psychiatrist.com, TerroristTherapist.com. Go to TerroristTherapist.com and you can get that book. And give us the name of the book once again.
It's called Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror.
Dr. Carol, thank you so much. It's always a joy to see you. I really appreciate being with me today.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up next here on TECN-TV Network, Texas Fully Loaded is coming up. I'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless you. Remember, keep praying for Israel. And be prepared, folks. If you're living in the United States of America, you need to be ready for what's coming. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. I'll be back with more tomorrow.